there are a lot of people there who are, there's heavy competition and there's a lot of suffering people there. So they're very open to spiritual life. I once went with Indradyumna Swami walking down the road in the lower east side of Manhattan. And for about 6 or 7 blocks in a row, we would walk across the sidewalk, going to another corner, and we're going looking for something. On every block, someone walked past and would say, Hare Krishna, Jai Chaitanya, you know. Just, you never couldn't have told he was a devotee. We were in our sannyas dress. Everywhere. One guy even, we were walking across the sidewalk, and he came from the other side of the street on the sidewalk, and he pointed his finger at us and he said, the devotees of Kali are going to get you guys. So it's a crazy place, New York. So many people have met Prabhupada there. All the time you meet people, I mean seriously, all the time you meet people who say, yeah, I remember the Swami when he was in the East Village. Yeah, I went to your place there. I was on drugs and they gave me this nice food and I chanted. And so, Yugoslavia is a little like that. Lots of suffering people who are looking for God. Shyam Sundar, a good friend of mine, he was part of the group. He first met George Harrison and introduced them. Well, he didn't introduce them to chanting Hare Krishna. They'd already been chanting. They heard an album that Prabhupada made in San Francisco, and somehow they heard it. I don't know how. So they started to experiment with it, John and George, and they were in Greece, and they're on vacation or something, and for about 7 or 8 hours straight they were chanting on their own. But anyway, George met Shyam Sundar in London, and they made a record of the Hare Krishna mantra. It was a big hit because it came from Apple Studios, and of course the Maha Mantras been on the chart for millions of years, so it's been at the top of the charts. But it was, you know, in the top 10 in the UK. It was number 3 in Germany, but it was number 1 in Yugoslavia for 2 months in a row. That is incredible. It means many of you, your parents, were into Hare Krishna. They may have forgotten because there was no follow-up, but they voted Hare Krishna as the number 1 song on the Yugoslavian hit parade. So, one thing I wanted to mention was that we have, you know, we feel very much the loss of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. Of course, for us it was not only an institutional loss, but it was an individual thing where he was so much our father, our friend, our master. He meant so much to us that we couldn't even conceive. Our minds didn't go past point. We never thought of life without him. We're so wrapped up in him. So when he did leave, we were very, very shocked and stunned. So over the years, we tried to do what he wanted us to do, and some mistakes were made. And we tried to correct them. everybody makes mistakes, but are you ready to correct them? So we've tried, and we're still making mistakes, but we're trying to do better. Now, one of the things that we have decided is that, and it's quite obvious from Scripture, there must be a disciplic succession. There are members in the succession who will be very prominent, and some who will be locally, according to their time, known, some even well known, but in the course of 1,000 years or 10,000 years, they may not be so well known. Maybe not. Like we're in the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, but many of us don't know anything about the Madhva Sampradaya and the gurus in that line. And even in our own line, Madhavendra Puri, we don't know much about him, or Ishwara Puri, or Jagannath Das Babaji, or Gaurakishore. We don't know that much about them, although they were powerful spiritual people, but one reason or another. So anyway, we have decided that we want to do our service and yet at the same time keep Prabhupada in the center, because we are aware of our own weaknesses or potential weaknesses, let's say. It is important for a disciple to have respect. In fact, one needs someone. Actually, the poet, artist, he didn't deserve that. Anyway, he said, everybody needs someone to lean on. Anybody heard of him? You try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. Well, we all need someone to lean on. We need a spiritual mentor. But we are not even a fraction of Srila Prabhupada, and perhaps even before him. And neither are any of you a fraction of the disciples in previous centuries. So we're both stuck with each other. But we have decided that we will not glorify anyone else but Srila Prabhupada in public. That's the way it stands now. I know you were referring to the original commentator on the Bhagavatam, and I'm happy for that. Or perhaps you were referring to Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. He was a very great soul and Prabhupada's friend, although Prabhupada was certainly superior in terms of his understanding of how to preach. And of all the godbrothers, he was empowered by Krishna. He got no help from them. In fact, many of them did and are still trying to take away his glory. So it's my humble request, at least, actually that's a rule, it's a GBC rule, that we don't glorify anyone by chanting their names in public. In your house, you can glorify your spiritual master to your heart's content. And just like the gopis, gopis and even other devotees in Dwarka, the prostitutes there, they all worshipped Krishna, but they would you know, stay on the roof and embrace him within their heart. So it's not necessary that we have to chant someone's name to appreciate them. That could be in the heart and the mind. But because we're a multi-system, you know, we have many different spiritual masters, and someone may, you know, not feel the same bhava as someone else towards a particular person. So, do you understand my point? Does anyone have any problem with that? Okay, now, I want to have a little kirtan because it's only 6:10 and we have 3 hours to kill. I love my American expressions. 3 hours to kill. So we'll chant Hare Krishna, but then I may try to see if I can speak something. I don't know if I'll get inspired or not. The Slovenians are the worst. But in general, I know in the Balkans, you don't ask questions. It's just a rule. Now, can you imagine if Sukadeva Goswami had the same attitude? Questions and answers are one of the best ways I know about learning. You know, in fact, I could just speak for 3 or 5 minutes and then we could just have questions and answers. Let's see what happens, but, you know, don't be afraid. And if you have a Kali Yuga memory, write it down. Now, I don't know how you're doing here. Relatively speaking, this part of the world is better than the other parts that I've been to, but I want to teach a mantra. It's called Prabhupada Pranam Mantra, and believe me, some people don't chant it right, although he's all we know as a spiritual authority, but it's Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namine. Now, how many of you have heard or chant Srimati Bhakti Vedanta? Anybody chant that? Okay, that's good, because that means Mrs. Bhakti Vedanta, and that Srimati. And Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine. I guess the thing is Namaste Saraswate, it's vocative, although it means O servant of Saraswati, but we don't say Namaste Saraswati, although it does refer to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But in the vocative case, you know vocative?
Yes.
So Saraswate, Devi. I won't even try to teach the Nisringa prayers because people murder those mantras. A lot, a lot, a lot, da 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 da. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Are we having fun yet?
It's a popular American. Now it should say International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You know who stressed this? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. We must have it wherever we go. Doesn't matter. I mean, if we're worried that someone from the secret police might get in here and discover who we are because we've got a banner up there, I don't think he needs a banner. So we should have a banner so people know that it's not the International Gaudiya Month or whatever it is. You know what else we should have here? Or wherever we have kirtan. We should have a photo, a big photo. Who do you think? Srila Prabhupada. That's right. And if you're really ambitious, you could have a photo of Gaurini Thai or Radha Krishna or something like that. But especially Srila Prabhupada. Just a little fatherly advice, right? If I don't say something, then I saw Prabhupada. I mean, he was a beautiful person. And his senses were perfectly under control. But when he wanted to teach his disciples something, his face could go red, wrinkles would come in his forehead, and he could scream. In fact, it is said, Chanakya Pandit says, Lalate bahavo dosha, tadane bahavo guna. A spiritual master's business is to chastise his disciple. Really. If you don't chastise them, their faults will increase. But if you do chastise them, then their faults will decrease. Another thing is, if you're going to give water, it should be in a glass that can be drunk from. Now, I'm going to drink this in the proper way. It's going to spill all over my kurta, but anyway, I don't mind. Because technically speaking, you're not supposed to touch your mouth and then touch the scripture. Because this is important to us because we give it importance. Just like the deities. Arche Vishnu, Shila Dir, Gurushu, Naramatir, Vaishnave Jati Buddhi. If we think that the Arche Vigraha is Shila, or stone, basically, or if we think that the spiritual master is an ordinary man, he may be an ordinary man, but we shouldn't think like that. The deity is stone. I mean, I'll take you to Jaipur and show you the place where they make deities from stone. The guy who makes them, he's sticking his feet all over it, he's smoking BDs and, you know. But because we give it importance, it helps to focus our mind. So similarly the scripture. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So this evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, text number 29.
Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha
ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maitete shuchapyaham. Translation. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Responsively, everyone please repeat. I envy no one.
I envy no one.
Nor am I partial to anyone.
Nor am I partial to anyone.
I am equal to all.
I am equal to all.
But whoever renders service unto me, in devotion, is a friend.
Is in me.
And I am also a friend to him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental service? But this is not discrimination. It is natural. Any man in this material world may be charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity, in whatever form, is his son, and so he provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock, on land, or water. But for his devotees, he gives specific attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase Krishna consciousness suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in him. The Lord says here distinctly, maite, maite te shuchapyaham, maite. They are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the words, ye yata mam prapadyante tangstataiva bhajami aham. Whoever surrenders unto me, proportionately I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotees. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity. But in the personalist philosophy, there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree, and whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma, It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho sti na priyaha yeva janti tu mam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I'm also a friend to him. So as Prabhupada mentions here, this is very natural. All of us have people who we are friendly with, and that friendship cannot survive if it is not reciprocal. Therefore, Rupa Goswami talks about ways to develop a relationship. Dadati Pratigranati, giving of gifts. I was in Ljubljana and I spoke about this very verse from Rupa Goswami, and I walked out of the temple and there was a devotee there who had wrapped up in some simple paper a bar of soap. You know, it's really what I needed. You know, I get, you know, soap. I can get that anywhere. I walk into a temple gift shop and, you know, how much is this? Oh, you take it, Maharaj, it's okay. Bar of soap, no problem. But even before I'd given the lecture, this devotee determined he wanted to give me a gift. So he wasn't a wealthy devotee, in fact, probably quite poor. But he wrapped up the bar of soap, and please don't give me any more bars of soap when I walk out tonight. But I need some toothpaste, but no soap. He gave me this bar of soap, and I felt so nice. All I could think of was to hug, give him a big hug, because I had nothing to give him, you know. I wanted to give in return. He gave me a gift. I wanted to give. So dadati pratigranati, giving of gifts. Doesn't have to be anything wonderful. One of my godbrothers, after a GBC meeting, his name is Burijan Prabhu, very well-known devotee, very wonderful devotee, Brijavasi. Now he's in Australia. He's American. But after the GBC meeting, he went around to each and every GBC man and gave him a sacred thread, a ball of tilak, and some other little thing, gave the gift and offered his obeisances. It was such a nice thing to do. It wasn't a big thing. No GBC man is sort short of, you know, sacred threads or tilak or, but it was just the thought. So dadati pratigranati, giving gifts and receiving gifts. Of course, in one sense we say, we quote Bhakti Siddhanta, who says that someone who compliments me, he is my worst enemy. You know, I just get puffed up. But in another sense, it's amongst devotees, it is possible to accept graciously a compliment. You say, actually, I don't deserve this, but thank you very much for your kindness. In other words, you reciprocate by glorifying them. So if someone gives you a gift, then you accept it graciously and you try to offer. Small things make relationships work. It's not the big things, you know. A very rich man could buy his wife any big thing. Because he has so much money. Or Prabhupada gives the example about Krishna, how a poor man may offer a little leaf or some water or a few rupees, and Krishna appreciates it because he's a poor man. But if a wealthy man offers a huge feast or 100,000 rupees, Krishna's not impressed. Krishna doesn't care how much you give. He's more concerned in how much you keep back. So these are relationships are based upon little things actually that mean something. Guyamakyati Prichati. Giving gifts, receiving gifts, opening one's heart, revealing one's mind, and hearing someone reveal the mind. Of course you don't want to do that to everybody, all your neighbors, go around and open up your innermost thoughts, but there are some special people that you trust, and they trust you, and of course the best one, Punkte Bhojayate Chaiva Sadvidin Priti Lakshanam, sharing prasadam, giving prasadam and receiving prasadam, honoring prasadam together. All the devotees should try to take prasadam together whenever possible. Invite each other over to your house and share prasadam. It will help bring you all closer together. So Krishna, he reciprocates with devotees who make an effort to exchange love with him. He's not a cold stone, but if someone wants to hide from Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate and hide from him. He'll never see Krishna because that's his desire, and Krishna fulfills the desires of everyone. Whatever you want, really. Your whole spiritual life depends on you, your desire. Nothing, God is not at fault. Whenever anything goes wrong in our lives, there's a tendency of people to blame it on God. Why me? I'm a victim, right? The worst thing you can ever do in your, at least psychologically, is to think you're a victim. You're not a victim of anything. Whatever is happening to you is happening because of either your purva karma or God's mercy. Well, directly, if God's directly involved, he may be helping you to surrender. And if you're not a devotee of the Lord, then you're experiencing your past karma. But we tend to think, oh, it's his fault. He did it to me. He didn't do anything to you. He's just an instrument. Everything is prakate kriyamanani kunai karmani sarvasha. Everything is done by the modes of material nature, prakriti. Ahankar, false ego, makes us think, I am the karta, kartaham iti manyate. I am the doer. This is the demoniac mentality, ishwaroham. I am the supreme enjoyer, controller. Aham bogi, siddhoham. I'm perfect. Balavan, I'm very strong. Sukhi, and the enjoyer. This is a defective mentality. Bhoktaram yogya tapasam. Krishna is actually the root of all existence. We enjoy when we give pleasure to Krishna. But we're thinking, no, I'll bypass Krishna. Just like in the States sometimes, people think, why should I give taxes to the government? I'll keep my taxes, and I'll try to enjoy. It's a cheating mentality. Of course, I'm not going to say anything further about that, but probably the government is also, according to the Ramayana, a man should give 1/6 of his income in taxes. I'm sure it's a little bit higher than that in most countries in the world. And what happens to that money is supposed to be spent by the king for the benefit of everyone. Well, if that doesn't happen, that's another thing. But in principle, people will cheat on taxes not knowing that by working together and cooperating with a good leader, everybody benefits. And similarly, by pouring water on the roots of the tree, by feeding food to the stomach, the hand, if the hand goes on strike, I'm not going to feed that fat stomach. Guy's just sitting around enjoying, I have to work, you know. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm getting tired here. You know, you have to feed the stomach. If you don't, then you'll get weak. So the stomach gives nourishment to the whole body. So by serving Krishna, we all benefit. It's in our self-interest. Svardhagatim hi Vishnu. This is our real self-interest. And Krishna's ready. He's calling us. That's the whole amazing thing. Krishna's making so many arrangements to call us out. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. Come to the path of light, idiot. Don't stay in darkness. There's a nice story in Greek mythology, Plato's Republic. I'm sure you all read that in school, right? Anybody familiar with Plato's Republic? Huh? Well, quite a few of you. So in the third book, there's a chapter entitled The Cave Dwellers. It's about people who lived in a cave, a deep dark cave, all their life. And they had never been outside that cave. And they were actually tied up inside the cave in such a way that they couldn't move. They could see straight ahead of themselves, but they couldn't go sideways. They were just fixed on the opposite wall. And behind them, there were some people who kept the cave warm. No, they were light. They had fires. Fires were lit there. And the fires were casting shadows on the opposite wall. So these people, that's all they saw, was the shadow world, shadows moving about in the cave. And that was their world. So then some people came from outside and set them free and said, you're missing everything. There's a whole world of beauty out there. There's a whole world of light. There's a whole world of variety. Everything is so nice. Come on. So some of the people in the cave said, I don't believe you. You just want to take us to another cave. I know. And there was debate. There was argument. Then a few of them said, all right, we'll come. So
So they came up the hill to the mouth of the cave. And as soon as they got to the mouth of the cave, the sun was shining, and it hit their eyes, and it was too much for them when they went back down in the cave. They couldn't, get past the light, the first light. They were afraid. Actually, they were afraid. So, amazing thing is, we suffer old age, we suffer disease. Old age, in a department store, you have some big department stores here? Like, I don't know.
Yes, yes.
Big, long malls, something like that. Usually on the ground floor, that's considered to be the most expensive advertising space, selling space, because it's the first, when you walk in, you've got your money in your pockets, and you're looking to buy something. Most people buy on impulse. There's not a lot of people who plan what they want to buy, what brand, what quantity, where, People think, I've got to buy some toothpaste or some, They walk into a big department store and, they're going to walk out with a lot more than toothpaste, but it's just on impulse. Their mind fixes, hey, geez, maybe I could live, that would help me live more comfortably. I'll buy that, and, That's what the people in the department store know that. Psychology. It's how they pick your pockets. You think, oh, we don't have any pickpockets in Belgrade. Sure do. They're all over the place. In all the big department stores. But what's the most, what do they sell on that ground floor as you walk in most department stores? What's that initial space dedicated to? Who can say?
Self-enjoyment.
Huh?
Things for self-enjoyment.
Well, yes, that's close, but I think the ladies can answer this one. What's it dedicated to?
Makeup,
cosmetics. How we can pretend we're not getting old, right? Everybody, the men have got to have it. They get bald, either they're with Hare Krishna or they're getting old, one or the other. And they've got to have wigs, Or there's so many things. Nobody wants to get old. It's just, you're no fun anymore. You don't have fun when you're old. Right? They have old age homes. I send my parents to an old age home because they just don't know how to party all night long. And disease. America has got the best hospitals in the world. And they have the most hospitals of any country per capita. And they're all full, and they don't have enough. And, disease, it's incredible what you have to pay for hospital care in America. But people somehow or other have to pay it. Because there's so much disease, and there's newer diseases coming practically every month. Terrible diseases. And death. We're all going to meet. Time. Death. And we'll be reborn. And we're suffering due to nature. And we're suffering due to our own body, the infirmity. I didn't choose this carcass, this bag. My parents gave it to me. I said, I don't want this. I want another one. I said, sorry. I got it. So much suffering, and yet somehow or other, we can't get enough determination together to get out of the material world. It's like
you know, Janaka, Astavakra, coming here to the hall, while driving, we saw one man in a wheelchair, and you know, his body was all emaciated, it was all bent, and don't laugh, next life, that's where you may be, not you, but people can go there. Could be born as a cell phone. So Janak asked him that, what is it that I want to get out of Maya's grasp, but every time I try to get out of Maya's grasp, she won't let me go. And I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the girl, Maya. I'm talking about illusory material energy. So Janak didn't answer, Astavakra didn't answer the question. He had answered many questions. There's a portion of the Puranas called the Astavakra Gita, like you have the Bhagavad Gita. There's the Uddhava Gita. There's the Astavakra Gita, like that. Astavakra. So he didn't answer the question, but he got down off of Janak's throne and he went over to a pillar in the palace, big pillar, and he threw his arms around it and began screaming, "Help! Let me go! Help!" And everybody, all the women and children and some of the men were laughing, "Fool. Janak, you put a fool on your throne." And Astavakra stopped and he turned and he said, "No, it's you who are fools. You're throwing your arms around Maya and then you're screaming, 'Help, let me go.' Because of your desire to enjoy independently of Krishna, that's why we're here. All we have to do seems easy, and it can be, it is. All we have to do is give up our independent desire to enjoy and develop a desire to enjoy with Krishna, as a servant of Krishna. If you live in the house of the king, then you're in a good situation. You have the same, relatively same clothes as the king. You eat the same food as the king. Same security as the king, same festivals and ceremonies as the king. It's good. You're just not the king. You're the servant of the king. The moment you think, "I'm the king," get out. Right? So the gentleman is right. Have fun. He's right. But remember, who's the supreme fun? Krishna. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He's the supreme controller. You say, "No, I'm not going to share with Krishna." You know, little kids sometimes, you go to a birthday party, little kids, you give them some gifts, you know, and then the other kids want to play with them too, and, "No, no, they're my gifts, get away." You ever seen that happen sometimes with kids? Krishna will share. Krishna's already sharing. He's giving us everything. Beautiful day today. Nice sunlight. Nice little breeze, wasn't too hot. Relatively clean air, you're lucky here. You have a tram system. It's actually much better than a zillion cars and smog. And, you know, it's like in your house, if you don't pay the water bill, what happens? Huh? Gogana, what happens if you don't pay the water bill? They cut it off. No water. You don't pay the electricity bill. What happens? You don't pay the telephone bill. What happens? You don't pay the sun bill. There's a bill. You think it's, oh, that's just coming free. Nature will pick up the bill. It's okay. No. Krishna's giving you all these things. He's sharing with you, but he accepts a little acknowledgement. What are the scientists going to say? Yeah, we made it sunny today. It was our work in the lab. You know, we mixed some chemicals and the sun came up. Don't be stupid. You're supposed to have a big PhD. It's so obvious. You know, I came to Moscow. I'd never been to Moscow before. But I knew that there must have been a mayor of Moscow. And sure enough, when I checked, there was. The street lights came on at night. The cars were on the right side of the road. This was, I could understand. There must be someone organizing. It didn't take a PhD in astrophysics to figure out that there was a mayor of Moscow. It was just obvious, common sense. And it's common sense. There's intelligence behind everything. There's a doer. And it's not you and it's not me. If it's not Krishna, then it's someone else named Krishna. So, Krishna's saying, just acknowledge my situation. Just acknowledge me. And I'll always be with you. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you, yoga, kshema, vahamyaham. Says, I will carry what you lack. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nitya yuktanam. If you share your love with me, we all have a capacity to love. I met a man today. He is a meditator, right? 5 years ago, he was drinking alcohol and chasing women and doing all kinds. Now he's somewhere in the Himalayas. Good luck. I have no idea. No idea. That's Treta Yuga, Dwapar, Sati Yuga, Krita Yuga, Kriteya Dhyayuto Vishnu. In Sati Yuga, when people lived 100,000 years and had clean hearts and habits, they could think about meditation, dhyana. It's not possible in Kali Yuga. People say, I'm doing meditation. It's imitation. It's not meditation. It really is. It's imitation. If you saw, even they're not even good imitations, you know. Like sometimes you'll find somebody who can imitate some famous person, and everybody laughs, you know. Like I'm sure there are people who can imitate Slobodan, you know. And some of them are good, and some of them are terrible, you know. These guys are not even, you know. 20 minutes meditation, and then, or 5 minutes meditation, and then cigarettes and steak dinner. And so, literally, you go to India, you see the real experts. And even they're imitators.
Kalo tadhari kirtanat. In this age, the only thing that we can attempt to do properly is chant Hare Krishna. Even that's a lot for us, right? You go door to door in Bengal with a big basket of mangoes. Have you ever had mangoes before to get mangoes here? Ooh. They're clean fruit. I mean, it's the Raja, the king of all fruits, is the mango. Very, especially Langara mangoes, which you get in Bengal. They're very juicy and so sweet, nectarian taste. Next time somebody comes from Bengal, or Bombay for that matter, you can get Apus, Alfonso mangoes. Especially in May, June. Right about now, if you know anybody coming from India, call them up immediately. Tell them to bring some mangoes. I'll take them all from you. You go door to door with a big basket of mangoes saying, please, take some. They're free. I'm giving free. Why are you giving free? You put some poison in it? Krishna's giving himself freely. I don't know. We won't take it. We think, nah, I won't chant Hare Krishna. I'd rather smoke a cigarette. Cool. Putting fire into your mouth, you know. Cool. Coffin nails. Right? You know a coffin? They keep a dead body in a coffin before a burial. That's called a coffin. And they have nails that, you know, bang down the top piece of wood. That's what cigarettes are. Coffin nails. Cancer sticks. But I won't chant Hare Krishna. Cool. I'd rather eat, go out and have a steak dinner. American Medical Association, British Medical Association, everybody says the same thing. Meat is bad for your heart. It's bad for arthritis, for your vein. It's bad for everything. It's not meant for human consumption. There are a zillion reasons. The acid in a carnivore is 20 times stronger than the acid in a human body for digesting meat. It's 20 times stronger. And the colon, the gut, the stomach is one-third the length of the body, whereas in a human it's 12 times the length of the body. So meat is poorly digested and it stays in the body four times longer. And it rots and all kinds of bad things invade the body through the meat. And they put so much artificial stuff in animals when they kill them. First of all, they kill the animal. And the body is, the animal secretes adrenaline throughout its body, just like you do when you're killed. You don't just sit there. Adrenaline goes throughout your whole body. It's not good to eat that adrenaline. It's not good for you. Animals. I won't chant Hare Krishna. I don't have time. I have time to go out and kill myself, but I don't have time to chant Hare Krishna. So Krishna's simply asking us to give a little priority to him, even 1%, even a little. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya. Su alpam. Alpam means little, and Krishna says su. Help them very little. Just say, next time you see me walking and I say Govardhan, say Govardhan back if you like. Just acknowledge the good work the devotees are doing.
Did any of you ever see Your Ever Well Wisher, the video about Prabhupada called Your Ever Well Wisher? How many saw that? Okay. You know who I think is going back to Godhead? I have a strong feeling she is. I don't think she's vegetarian. I doubt she's a Krishna devotee. Sally Agarwal. She's the lady. When Prabhupada went from India and he had nowhere to stay, he went to their house. And she, you know, she said, I never met a nicer man. And he loved our child Bridge. Oh, he used to laugh with him. He was such a joyful person. And when he would smile, it was oceanic. In fact, I never had such a good time in my life. That's all she said. But it was so beautiful what she said, offering respect to Krishna's pure devotee. I think she gets a lot of credit for that. So if people even do a little bit of spiritual development, they'll get great benefit. A little bit of effort. What to speak of those who are more committed? They will get tremendous benefit. In fact, iha yasya harer dasye karmanam manasa gira nikilas vapi avastasu jivan mukta sahuchate. If you act with body, mind, and words for the satisfaction of Krishna, then practically you're already liberated. You're already in the kingdom of God. And you have nothing to fear. Nothing can touch you. Krishna's protecting you. The body's going to die. I don't care who you are. Even for all appearances, Krishna disappeared. He didn't stay forever. He stayed for 125 years. But he didn't stay forever. Srila Prabhupada did leave us his manifest body. Is there in Vrindavan in the salts, preserved. But you have nothing to fear from death. Nothing at all. Because A, you're not living for the body. You're living for Krishna, for your spiritual master, for your spiritual life. So you're already living on the transcendental platform. And B, your devotional service, whatever you're doing, it's completely secure. It's protected. You're not going to lose anything. When you take initiation, you're already a dead man. You sell your body to your spiritual master, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. You surrender your senses. I will act under the guidance of higher authority. Nothing to fear. So Krishna wants us to take shelter and we will fulfill our desires, those desires that are compatible with the ultimate goal, and there's a nice prayer in the Bible. Actually, I like it a lot. There's a lot of good stuff in the Bible, but this one is very nice. You probably heard it many times before, having a long tradition of spiritual life, except for the years when we were communists, but Anyway. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know that? Have you heard that before? It's a prayer. I think it's from the Sermon on the Mount. Where's it from? Huh? In the Old Testament.
Father of Solomon, David.
Oh, the father of Solomon. Wow, you know the Bible good. That's good, I'm glad. You're a good devotee too, so. That's a beautiful prayer, isn't it? Krishna's our protector. Even though we walk through the shadow of the valley of death. So, I want you all to follow Srila Prabhupada's three main instructions. He gave three orders. So all of you, I want you to commit this evening, along with me. I want you to commit and bow to follow his three main instructions. How many of you will agree? Okay. His three main instructions are: chant Hare Krishna, have no worries, and have fun. You didn't put your hand up. You don't want to have fun. You're a pretender. Chant Hare Krishna, have no worries, and be happy. That's what he said. So it takes an effort to be happy. It's the opposite of being unhappy, so you get to choose. Should I be unhappy or should I be happy? Happy! Whatever happens, you be happy. Prabhupada converted hippies into happies. You really have to think about that. I'm not even joking, although it's kind of funny, but I'm not joking. There's a whole philosophy and psychology behind what I said. Chant Hare Krishna. Have no worries. Don't worry. There's nothing to worry about. Your eternal spirit soul. You're not going to die. What else is there? And be happy, have fun. Krishna consciousness is fun. Sing and dance and feast. Now, we sang, we didn't dance. We should have danced. If Satchinanda and Maharaj were here, we would have danced. I'm a little sick, so I got some stories to tell about that. Ooh. But and feasting, I want you all to do a little Manasa Puja tonight. Imagine a beautiful feast here up on the front, and it's all free. There's gulab jamuns. There's a big pot of sweet rice here with strawberries, fresh strawberries. And there's some malpura, you know, very good malpura. And a little farther over there, there's eggplant, tomato, balaram. And farther over there, there's paneer, cheese, and peas. And over there I see some puris. And there's three kinds of chutney. And there's lassi. And what's that over there? Oh, there's pakoras. Cauliflower pakoras. We call them meat eater's delight. And what's that favorite preparation in Croatia? That red one? One that we had down in Pula that we talked about. Cargamo, you know that red kind of chutney stuff?
Chutney stuff?
No, that's all Balkan, all Yugoslavians like to eat. It's kind of spicy and red to me, like to me. Aya. It's a big pot of Iva here. I think that it's time that we got our community back together in Belgrade. What do you think? Sadu, sadu. Yeah. Because it's really nice having these programs, and it's nice having a feast afterwards, sharing prasadam together. We're a family, you know. We're all brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and it's really nice to be a member of this family because we have a great grandfather. And there's a lot, you know. So, you know, we can have some more kirtan. We were going to have a little Bharat Natyam dancing and a sketch and this and that, but we thought you needed kirtan more. But actually, there's lots of things you can do. We've had a religious conversion. There was a vacuum in our lives, and we needed a spiritual vision. So we got that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about a social conversion, an intellectual conversion, a cultural conversion. We have a very deep and rich culture. I know, because I lived there for so many years. It's beautiful. And you can have a lot of fun when you just agree to work together as a team. Now, I know that 20% of the people are going to do 80% of the work. That's a principle. Whose principle is that?
Pascal's?
No, not Pascal. There's the Peter principle, but this is not that. This is something else. But it's a fact. In any endeavor, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And those 20% go back to Godhead a lot quicker than the other 80. But still, if we try, if we get together, we can get everybody to do a little something. And a little, little, little from everybody adds up to more than a lot from a few. And everybody gets an opportunity to be in Krishna and Krishna be in them. Right? You can experience Krishna when you're serving him, because there'll be things that you won't know what to do. But if you're determined to succeed, guess who's going to drive your chariot? Guess who's going to give you inspiration what to do? When you take initiative to do something for Krishna, he'll reveal himself to you. If your eyes and ears are open, if you're looking for signs, God is there everywhere. There are so many gurus available to you. The Brahman in the Srimad Bhagavatam had 24 gurus. In nature, you'll see so many signs, so many lessons you can learn from so many people, if you're looking. And oh, by the way, you do also need to follow. We need to lead, you know, in the army. Any of you were in the army? None of the ladies, huh? In the army, at least in the West, there's a famous motto. It's lead, follow, or get out of the way. You know that? Lead, follow, or get out of the way. So we need leaders, but we also need followers. That also is important. And we all need to follow someone, because ultimately we're following Krishna. So we all need a spiritual master. The spiritual master does not need disciples. Let's get this straight now, because I think it's important. It has been important in our lives. For some of you, you know, everything's going great. And for others, there's some difficulties. And for others who may not even be here, there's disaster. But the principle is very simple. Krishna says, accept a guru. And if you want to follow Krishna, you have to accept the guru, the principle of guru. Just like, are you going to have another president in Serbia? You have one, right? You didn't say, well, Slobodan was bad, so we're not going to have any more presidents ever again, right? No. The president is the republic. That's the republic. It's the way it's ruled. There's a president and a senate and whatever there is, bodies. The position of the president is important. You have that. And you elect someone, or someone comes in, and if he works out, great. You respect him. Once he's no longer the president, he's just an ordinary man in the street. He doesn't hold the post anymore. He's not acting in that way as your president. While he was the president, he could help you to get back to Serbiahood or something. I don't know. So similarly, you need a spiritual master. And it's really, really good. I don't know why, but somehow Prabhupada is my spiritual master. So he's also yours as your Siksha Guru. There's no doubt about that. And he may be the most prominent person in your spiritual life. Often, or sometimes, you can see that your Siksha Guru is the most prominent person. We have that in our tradition. But Krishna's instruction is that you need a bona fide spiritual master. Now, Narahari Sarkar wrote a whole book on this, and he was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. Either he had vision for 5 centuries later, or there were problems 5 centuries ago. Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on the same issue. Bhajanamrita, what is that? Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita. Narahari Sarkar's book talks about reinitiation. I don't know about you, but I need every little bit of help I can get. be Krishna conscious. If there's any value at all in situating myself under a Diksha Guru, I want it. If there's any value, if it'll help me in any way. And I know Krishna wants it. And you should also understand, it's not a personality cult. The person who occupies the post, we're not in love with whoever it may be. Bill Clinton, he's no longer the President of the United States. If you meet him on the street, you can chastise him for, you know, being so promiscuous, if you like. When he was the president, you probably couldn't get close to him. But now he just, you know, there'll be a few FBI agents with him, you know, whatever a president gets after their term. But, I mean, you understand my point. You need to follow the disciplic succession, and you need to get siksha. And if, just like Krishna says, one who is a friend to me, I'm a friend to him. So I know myself, many people ask me to be their siksha guru. And I really don't have the health or the time. I'll help them at that time. I'll talk to them, sure, just like I'm talking to you and sharing with you what I've experienced over the last 32 years. I have a lot to give you, a lot of affection for you, and a lot of experience to give you. So right now while I'm here with you, I'll give. But once I leave, I'm somewhere else. And I do have some disciples who I'm very attached to. I know them all by their names. I know about their problems in life. I try to help them in every way I can. I'm inclined to them because we made a contract. And it works with all my God brothers also. Or anybody. It's just natural. Someone who's your own personal disciple, although you're equal to everyone, but someone who is your disciple who's taken a vow to respect you as best they can and follow your guidance, you feel inclined to them. Natural. So it can help you to become enlivened, to get over past problems. It can do a lot for you. And there's a lot more to be said for this than I could talk about at this meeting. But, and it, you know, it's everybody's individual choice. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to. There's no ashram here, so you can call yourself a devotee and do anything you want. Choice is up to you. But I'm saying that it's good to be secure under the shelter of an experienced person. And if for some reason, and I look at all the devotees who have fallen down, and I know all of them, and all of them at one time or another were really nice devotees and really tried their best. You fight a battle, you lose generals, you lose soldiers. They took a big position, they didn't understand it completely properly. Maybe there was a tinge of ambition there. They'll benefit, even some of the worst who are, you know, now you couldn't recognize them. But they'll benefit because Prabhupada's very merciful and they helped him in the beginning. And they won't lose that. And they were all good people, but they're just not in the position anymore. They're not doing the service. And we're not attached to someone just because of his personality. Now, it's nice, for example, that Srila Prabhupada was so perfect and a wonderful person. We can all love him and have no fear at all. But it's nice. You need to accept a bona fide spiritual master even if you hate the guy. It's not a personality cult. It doesn't depend on whether you know, he does kirtan the way you like it or whatever. That's not it. So I'm just giving my advice. I would like to see all of you healthy and happy and having fun. And I think when you get some of these things out of the way that can disturb us, then you'll be free to chant Hare Krishna, have no worries, and have fun. Be fun. Have happy. Whatever. Are there any questions? I challenge you. Seriously. We're a family. Yes? Why do we wear the tilak? Go ahead.
Can you tell something about Janada Prabhu?
Whoa! Question was, could I tell something about Jayananda Prabhu? Jayananda is my guru. I could describe Jayananda, and many of you might say, nah, I don't believe it. Somebody like that doesn't exist. It's too good. He's adding. Well, you can think what you like. He existed and he was real. And next to Srila Prabhupada, he's the best person I ever met in my life. I would suggest you read Radha Damodar Vilas. That's kind of a biography of him. Another great soul is in there, Vishnu Janaswami. You know, Vishnu Janaswami, there's every indication that he got knocked down by Maya. He was one of the people who lived at Morning Star Ranch in California. It was about 50 miles north of San Francisco in the 60s. He and Tamal Krishna Goswami lived in a tree. And they weren't always wearing clothes. And so did hundreds of other hippies. It was a very famous place. I lived at Wheeler's Ranch, which was close by. those were interesting days. But Vishnu Janaswami was the most charismatic devotee you could think of meeting. I can't think of anybody, and I know most of our charismatic devotees today, and some of them are very charismatic. You know, I think, well, there's many. Sachinanand Maharaj is very wonderful. So he's very pure and very spontaneous and very charismatic. But Vishnu Janaswami was more charismatic. They're both charismatic, but Vishnu Janaswami. Vishnu Janaswami was from a generation where, you know, like we used to we didn't know a lot about Indian culture, so in those days there were events. Whatever it was, nobody wore gumshoes, you know, we were all just naked. I remember the San Francisco temple, it was so small that the showers were here and the kitchen was here, and there was a plastic curtain between the showers and the kitchen. And we'd be showering in the morning for Mangal Arati, and the ladies would be making up the deity's place for the, right the shower. We were from a generation, nobody thought much of it. I was kind of freaked out, actually. But Vishnujana Swami, he didn't like to wear kopan. He was a very good devotee, very pure and everything, but he was very handsome. And I think he didn't make it. And he was so embarrassed. He asked Prabhupada about Junior Haridas and Lord Chaitanya on a walk in Mayapur. And then a day later he was missing. It's not completely sure, but there's a lot of speculation that he committed suicide because he's never been seen since then, anywhere. Everybody else who ever disappeared has been sighted. But Vishnu John, a 6'3", beautiful man, charismatic, unless he's somewhere in the North Pole or something, I don't know, He couldn't disappear. And he was so sincere, and there's some indication that he fell down. But even though he fell down, in his lifetime, so many devotees, he made a mistake, but there's so many devotees who love him, and he made all the difference in their lives spiritually. His enthusiasm and his beautiful singing and his surrender. And so, we're a family, and we really ought to try and see the good things in each other. Real important. Jayananda, if you wanted to talk to Jayananda, or if you wanted to be around him, if you criticized anyone within earshot, if he could hear you, he was gone. He was history. He would leave. He wouldn't hear it. And if you approached him directly and criticized someone, he'd immediately defend them. He was older than everybody. He was from a very wealthy family. He had an engineering degree from the most prestigious engineering school in America. He also had a teacher's degree, double degree. But he just liked to drive taxi. Simple man. When Jayananda got initiated, he didn't understand that, you go around your beads once, that's one round. He thought that was one round. So for the first many months he was chanting 32 rounds. And he was wondering why everybody was finished so quickly, but he was having trouble. He thought it was his problem, But he was so sincere that he stayed up late at night and chanted 32 rounds as well as doing all the service he did. He was in the 20% that do all the work. He was the man who did most of the work and organized the other 19% or whatever. A guy came to the temple one time and he was thinking of joining, he wasn't sure. So Keshava met him and talk to him. Keshe was the president, so he sent him to work with Jayananda. Jayananda was doing his regular services, and that day he had to take the garbage out from the temple. You had to drive up the mountain a ways, and we would have a truckload full of garbage. It would pile up during the week into a big bin, big, call them Dempsey dumpsters. Anyway, so he would pile it in a truck and drive it outside the city and dump it in the garbage dump. So at the end of the day, that boy came back to Keshava and he was all fired up and he said, "I want to be a devotee." And so Keshava said, "Well, what made you make up your mind so quickly?" And he said, "Well, I thought if the guy takes out the garbage around here is so blissful, I can only imagine what the rest of the world is." Jayananda was a prasadam addict. Jayananda loved prasadam. He could be found eating prasadam any time, morning, noon, or night. His favorite prasadam was peanut butter halwa. I don't know if you've heard of peanut butter. It comes in a jar, you know, you put it in sandwiches and stuff. So they would make halwa and flavor it with peanut butter. He loved that. And he would get home late at night, and whatever leftover prasadam was there, he would immediately sit down and honor the prasadam. He was always the last one to sleep at night. And for the most part, he was the first one up in the morning, and he was an older man, but he would jump. We had cold showers. There was no a little bit hotter. It was freezing cold showers for everybody. And he would, you know, jump right into the shower, not a moment's hesitation. He just didn't care for his body, you know. He was so blissful. He would chant, he would sit down and chant his rounds in the temple. Hare Krishna, 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 you know, 16 rounds, you know, it'd be like this, Hare Krishna, so sincerely. And then he was finished, he'd stop, you know. He would give class and he wasn't big scholar per se, but his classes were so personal. And invariably, he would say, "You know, you just have to have faith in Prabhupada and the holy name. You just have to have faith in the holy name." And he really did. And when he said it, you believed it, because he was someone who, he had that ability that whatever he told you, you knew that he realized it. He used to take care of the Rath Yatra in San Francisco every year. He started the first one, and every year he would organize it. And everybody was out doing book distribution. That was all there was in life. And so, you know, he would get a crew of people who were like, you know, one step from leaving, or there were problem cases, or, you know, some karmis, or, I mean, people who just happened to come by the temple and wanted some food. And he would get a crew together somehow or other, and he would get them so inspired and enlivened that they'd build the cart, big, three beautiful Rath Yatra carts. And he worked harder than anybody, plus he cooked prasadam for everybody. And his prasadam was filled with so much devotion. I mean, there's a difference. Just like, you know, you go to a restaurant or something, and you know, you taste the food, and yeah, it's okay, it's good, yeah. But then you go home and you taste mother's home cooking. There's a difference in quality in the food. You feel, wow, this is, you know, mom cooked this. She knows what I like, you know. That's bhakti. You could taste the bhakti in Jayananda's cooking. So much so that during the Ratha Yatra days, Keshava and a group of devotees would sneak off from the temple and come down to the place where the carts were being built so that they could have some of Jayananda's cooking. And I knew because I helped him 1 year build. I was one of the bloopers. No. I was lucky to be on the crew to help him build Ratha Yatra. It was in 1970. And it was really nice experience. So he used to collect everything, all the money for the parade. He would beg, he would borrow, he wouldn't steal. One way or the other, he would get everything donated free, or if he had to finally pay for it, he'd get his money's worth. And he had to get the permission for the parade, and they had a city council. So he had to go before the city council and get permission. They'd have their meeting, and they'd be taking up so much business, and one of them was for the Ratha Yatra. And he would get up and tell them. And then after the parade, after the Ratha Yatra parade, he would get a big supply of prasadam cakes. And he'd go around to everybody who'd done any little service, and he would give them a gift, a prasadam cake, and he would thank them very much. And he was just a devotee. He wasn't sophisticated, although he was a very intelligent man, but he was just very down-to-earth, friendly type of person. So he would tell them thank you and preach to them a little bit, and he had friends all over the city. And, you know, he would go to the vegetable market, and all the Italians would, and fruit sellers, they'd all give him big truckloads of fruit and vegetables, etc., extra that they had. And, you know, because they liked him. They didn't necessarily give it to the Hare Krishna movement, they gave it to Jayananda, the Hare Krishna. They liked him. So after he died, he got cancer, and he tried to cure it for a while, but then he just gave up. His parents sent him, you know, a big donation, many thousands of dollars, and he just gave it to Prabhupada. But after he left, the next year when they were organizing Ratha Yatra, the devotee who was in charge, he went before the city council, and the chairman of the city council, one lady, this boy got up to make a little presentation and tell about the Ratha Yatra, and she said, "Wait a minute, where's Jayananda?" And he put his head down and said, "He died last year, cancer." And she was shocked. And she said, "What? That can't be." Tears began to glide down her eyes. That was the kind of impression that Jayananda had on people. You know, even the Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro. The Dira and even the Adira, the ruffians, they all loved him. His appearance day is on Saturday, I think. Disappearance day, pardon me. So, anybody have a copy of Radha Damodar Vilas? Here? You have it? You should have a little festival, anybody who wants to come and read from the pastimes of Jayananda. It'll help you to realize what we should all endeavor to be like. He wasn't He wasn't a 70-year-old aristocratic Bengali gentleman. He wasn't, you know, pure all his life. You know, he ate meat. I don't know if he, I'm sure he drank. Yeah, he was alcoholic for a while, or a drinker, because he was just very unhappy. But he got so inspired by Srila Prabhupada and applied himself so sincerely that his total character, his whole personality was just, I won't say he changed, but everything good about him came to the front. And everything that was possibly bad went to the back. None of you are going to really change, but the devotee in you will come out, and the demon in you will hide away, get down, you know. You should read about it, because you'll see. He was real. He was not just a book that was made to make Vyasaki some money. Jainanda was real, believe me. It's my memories of devotees like Jainanda that keep me going. Any other questions?
Yes. What's evil man? When you say demon, what's the borderline between demon and
Krishna? That's the borderline, Krishna.
You didn't understand me. I know many bad people, but on the other side, they're beautiful.
Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahaguna guna manuratenasati davato bahi. Someone who is not, he is an abhakta. He's not a devotee of the Supreme Lord of God. Although in material estimation he may have good qualities, but those qualities are A, temporary, and B, if his own position is threatened, he could change his color very quickly. So, generally, someone who is not on the progressive path of spiritual life, they don't, they're not worthy of our recognition. They may be good persons, so in material estimation, so we can use that to make friends with them and bring them to devotional service. If someone's a good, you know, good, let's just say good person, yeah, by material estimation. So there's an opening there if they're really a good person. There's an opportunity. We shouldn't ignore them. Ah, you may be a good person, but you're a demon. You know. Not like that. Like my mother, she's a good person. Or my brothers. They're not devotees, exactly. But, you know, they like me. That's their bad quality. But I use that familial love and affection. My sister's really into it, you know. We Kalklus, we stick together. I mean, like bubble gum? No. So I go there and I make friends with them. And they want to do something, so, you know, we go out to a movie together. I think we saw the little Buddha one time and saw some other. And we go out to a vegetarian restaurant. There's a very good Buddhist restaurant in Vancouver. and it's not in the temple, so they don't feel threatened. And slowly, slowly, I've been, you know, injecting them with Krishna consciousness, and they've come a long way. So if someone's a good person, we know they're not actually good persons in the true sense. The time of death. Now, Maharaj, I helped 57 little old ladies across the street, and I built three schools where they, you know, eat meat, and I, well, very good. You become an animal in, you know, this part of the jungle. You'll be a lion. You'll be the king of the animals. The only thing that gets you any credit in spiritual life is your connection with God. You don't believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, what? The only thing that is valuable is whether you can focus your mind transcendentally. It's not a question of favoritism. You choose. If you want to stay in the material world and be a good person, welcome. But if you want to go beyond the bodily platform, beyond time, to a world where there are no physical bodies of earth and water, where there are spiritual bodies that are eternal and have no suffering, you have to make the choice. Just being a relatively good person is not going to get you there. Pious activities will not get you there. Phalena phalaka namanumeyate. You judge by the result. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. If you remember God at the time of death, then you will go to Krishna. If you don't, you won't. Yeah. I don't think there's anything I can do about it. I have a condition connected to my liver, but I get cramps sometimes, and I can't move. So if I move even a fraction of a millimeter, it hurts a lot. Have fun. Alright? I have fun despite these problems, but it's a little embarrassing sometimes if it happens on stage. I don't think there's anything you can do. It's due to calcium. If you can give me an injection of calcium. You can try. What do you want to do? It's right here. So, as I was saying, any other questions? Yeah.
You said that it's when one is becoming devoted.
Do it harder. Yeah.
That the demon in himself will hide.
Yeah.
And I cannot understand what does it mean. I was thinking that he will disappear.
No, you're Tatastha Shakti. You're always marginal. You can forget Krishna anytime you want. Punar Janma Na Vidyate, you'll never take birth again, means that you will have burned yourself so badly that you'll never think to come here in the material world again. It'll be an automatic reaction, but you have the potential. There's never a point when Krishna makes it forced. Love is not forced. You left him originally, and you'll always have the choice. But I remember once we went to a program with Srila Prabhupada. It was at a very big man's house, very wealthy, multi-millionaire, one of the richest families in India, billionaire. So we had kirtan, Prabhupada gave a lecture, they served a wonderful feast for all the devotees and Prabhupada. And on the way home, Prabhupada said, whenever I go to a rich man's house, I always pray to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. So we were shocked to hear that. We thought, oh, Prabhupada will never fall down. And then a little while later we were talking, and then we realized the reason why Prabhupada will never fall down, what's the reason? What's the reason? Huh? That's he's always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. No. It'll go away. I got some great stories about once, I was just thinking about this afternoon. I was in Santa Barbara, which is in California. So we had come from India to Los Angeles, and I was going to see a very dear friend of mine. We've been serving together for many, many years. His name is Giriraj Swami. And I really wanted to see him. But while leaving India, a mosquito, at least one, bit me. And I got a disease that was going around at that time. And my liver is decompensated, so if I get any other serious virus in my body, the liver collapses. So by the time I got to his house, I was quite sick, but I was somehow for a day or two I was coping up. We were talking, and you know, but then Mayapur, my traveling companion, he you know, he takes care of me, so I had to he could see that I was slipping, I was going, my encephalopathy had kind of was taking charge, and my consciousness was going. So he wanted to give me some water, and I couldn't take it. I wasn't taking it, and I hadn't eaten anything all day, and I was in a room. Giraswami has a house and guest room and everything. His mother and sister, his father had offered him $1,000,000 to leave Hare Krishna when he first joined. Can you imagine? Your father offers you $1,000,000. He said, I'll write you a check right now. It was in front of Prabhupada who did it. So Giraswami said, Father, you're so wealthy. You have so much money. And you're not happy. But you expect me to believe that if I take your money, I'll become happy. So he never took it. Even after his father died, there's money waiting for him now. His father was at least worth $50 million, and there's only his mother, his sister, and him. So he could get that, but he has to renounce Prabhupada and his connection with ISKCON. So he doesn't get that. But his mother and sister take care of him. So they have a house where he stays in Santa Barbara. He had bypass. Funny, that was really funny too. We both did a walk around Govardhan, and we were so absorbed in talking about Krishna Leela. You know, we were just together, his disciples and some of mine were there, but they had to stay away, you know, they had to stay at least 10 meters away. They couldn't come close, because we wanted to talk, you know. So we got so absorbed that we did the full 27 kilometers without thinking about it. And, you know, barefoot, and we did it in about 6 hours, which is pretty fast. It's about 5 kilometers an hour over, you know, thorns and prickles and all that. Somehow we didn't feel much, but it was not the right thing for a liver patient and a heart patient to do. So right after that, I went into the hospital in Bombay. I bloated up with water like a balloon, and I went into the hospital, and he had a triple bypass surgery. Giri Govardhan has his own sense of humor. But anyway, it was very funny. So anyway, I went to see him. And I was going under, and Mayapur tried to give me some water to drink, and I was, you know, spitting it out. And then Giraj Swami came in, and he knew I had to do something. I had to eat something. So he had me drink the water. When he came in, somehow or other, I just obeyed him. It was funny. Mayapur, I wouldn't follow, but Giraj Swami, I just immediately acted like a disciple. And so he said, "Well, I want you to eat something, and Kunti Devi will make you some veggie burgers." So I said, veggie burger. So I don't know why I did that, but so she made up these veggie burgers, and I ate one of them, and whatever. And then I somehow got to bed, and I woke up in the morning, and I was stone cold, totally unconscious. And they took me to the hospital, and it's funny, afterwards they were joking with Kunti that they're going to put an advertisement in VNN on the internet. They're going to put an advertisement, a sure way to get rid of your favorite guru or GBC man, Kunti's veggie burgers. No, Kunti's coma burgers. She was freaked out. We still joke about it. She said, "I'll never cook again." But I had some part of pastimes in the hospital. When I came out, I was in the intensive care unit for about 3 days, and when I came out of there, and it took me a little while to get my bearing where I was. In fact, every time the doctor nurse would come in the intensive care unit, my eyes were open, but I was just non-responsive. But they would always ask, who are you? What day is it? Do you know where you are? What year is it? So after I got out of the intensive care, I was trying to think, I said, what year is it? 19? Is it 2000? You know, I was really struggling to get my mind back. So then one day I woke up in bed and I realized, what am I wearing under these sheets? It feels kind of funny. And some friends had come to see me and I realized I had on giant nappies. You know what nappies are? The ladies do. It's diapers. I don't know what you call them here. I couldn't believe it. After all these years, 50 years, and they got me back in diapers again? There's a famous cartoon character in America. He's called Baby Huey. You heard of Baby Huey? I don't know. He's about, you know, 5 foot or 6 foot. He's a baby. Somebody's baby. I don't know. Maybe the Flintstones or somebody. But anyway. Baby Huey, and he goes around in these diapers. He's a giant little kid, you know. I thought, oh my God, I'm just like Baby Huey. So I like to have fun. So I stood up on the bed, took everything else off except for my diapers, and I had someone take some photographs. And I call it Sridhar Swami porn. Whenever I want to have a good laugh, I look at those photos. And then I had another pastime when I was in intensive care, because they would always ask, you know, they'd always ask, who are you? What's your name? What's your name? They'd ask. And I just got the impression that these people are too serious, you know. They've got to chill out a little bit. You know that expression, chill out? Okay. So I remembered a nursery rhyme. I don't know where it came from, you know. I don't know how it got in my brain, but it just, you know, the wheels were spinning and it stopped at this little nursery rhyme when we were a kid, you know. What's your name? Mary Jane. Where do you live? Down the lane. So the next time the nurse came in, she said, what's your name? And I said, Mary Jane. I expected her to say, where do you live? And then I was going to say, down the lane. But instead she said, doctor. You can have fun anyway. Yeah. You having fun? What's your name?
My name
is Srech.
Huh?
Lucky.
Huh?
It's Lucky.
Lucky.
Okay. So tomorrow's Ekadasi. So it's a good day to practice a little spiritual austerity. and tomorrow's Ekadasi, and probably we might not meet tomorrow. I'm leaving the day after. You know, even if you won't allow me, I'll probably try to come back again. But generally, you know, we're not interested in mundane ceremonies and traditions, etc. But still, because we're a family and we like to appreciate the good qualities in devotees, I think one of our devotees deserves a little recognition and appreciation. She's a really nice person, and it's her birthday tomorrow. So I think we should all give a big Hari Bol for Gogana. You want a speech? Speech. Huh? You want to say something? Go ahead. Come on. So, you know, she's got a big heart and she's always ready to serve the devotees. And those are good qualities. And she's lucky. Her birthday's on Ekadasi. It's lucky and not lucky because you can't make a cake on Ekadasi. You can hardly have a feast, but you can still wish her well. This is what we sing. Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you. May you never take birth again. Hare Krishna to you. Okay. Hare Krishna.